back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positivity. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back out on the road. We had a postponement at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog, moved to May. We'll be good with that, but we are going to be at Conrad's on Wednesday, the 27th, at Perry Hall. A lot of locations with Conrad's. I have not been to the Perry Hall location. We're looking forward to setting up there. We're going to have some great conversations, some old friends and new, including my friend Rob Santoni from our friends at Wise Markets, who just completed the Boston Marathon, even though he had a cramp at the 22nd mile. We'll have him on the program on Wednesday. Don, it's been a little while since you and I have had a crab cake together. It's been a couple weeks, if not a couple months now, since we were El Guapo getting together. We're doing more Zoomers here. I'm getting back out on the road. We are really into campaign season now, right? Like having a lot of candidates on in a lot of different ways. And the first thing I want to say, let you tell everybody about this, because this is where you come in, vote, vote, vote. We actually have an election day now. Like we have a North Star in July, right?
Absolutely. As we talk elections, and we've said all along, we're going to have all the candidates on. We're going to encourage our listeners to get involved, pick the candidate of your choice, work hard for them. That's what democracy is all about. But the primary is now etched in stone. As we get to welcome our guests, it is July the 19th. And I want to remind people there'll be early voting from July the 7th through July the 14th. But here's the really important date that folks need to write down. July the 12th will be the last date that you can request a mail-in ballot. So we know that since the primary is in this odd month of July, many people will be voting by mail. So if you want to vote by mail in Maryland, you must get that request in by July the 12th. So with that, write all those dates down. And with that, we are delighted to welcome the lieutenant governor candidate for Tom Perez's candidacy for governor, former Baltimore City Councilwoman Shannon Snead. Shannon, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. I think I was on when I was running for city council president.
I had to Google that one. I looked that one up. You know, I don't think of you as any. I think of you as a journalist still to this day. I still think of you as a real journalist, you know?
I feel that way at times when I'm like digging into stuff. I'm like, nope, wait, let me find out. Let me see what's going on here. Let me read it for myself.
Well, you know, so this is where I would jump in on all of this, because I think Winston Churchill was a journalist amongst many other things in his life, and many people that wanted to be journalists but weren't went on to other things. How does it serve you to do this, to seek truth in all of this? Because I have found it to be foundational for me that I worked at a newspaper when I was 15 years old and had a notebook and asked who, what, when, or why, and put the stink eye up for bull crap. And like, I have that to the, it's why I'm still here doing what I'm doing. I would think it's part of your journey you take with you.
Exactly. So I never even considered politics back in the day. My thing, I wanted to become a journalist because I wanted to tell the story and I wanted to advocate for people. Like, I wanted to fix it. And I felt like putting the stories on television so millions could see it and hear it, we could make a change that way. But
get
I got
Jane Miller on it. She'll fix it, right?
Exactly. The highest paid, woman who makes more than I think anybody in the field. You know, we know that as journalists. Like,
I didn't know that. I would have had her buy me the crab cake if I would have done
that. Hopefully she won't get me, but I mean, we know that as journalists, right? She, when I was coming out of school, it was like, you wanted to work at WJZ because you wanted to get to the top of the hill. That's where Oprah came from. And you also wanted to pay that Jane Miller is getting at BAL. So,
oh, but Jane, you know, I'll say this with Jane. I can't say this about Chris Davis or some others. We'll find out, but she earns her dough. You know, we had her on. She is the best.
And she is the best.
Well, and she I think is. That's for all of us, and for where you wanted to be and where you wound up. This is even a different trail. And I think we find you here at this place where, you know, the city, obviously no better way to help the city than to be down in Annapolis at the state level. And we've talked to Larry Hogan about that and talked to all the candidates about that. In doing this, in making this decision, you want to be part of this with Tom. And I had a crab cake at Fadley's last year with Tom. And so some thoughts about the last 6 months of your life, because it's been different, right?
So I've only been in for 2 months. I haven't been in that long. And so I like to tell people, because I picked Tom before he actually picked me. Tom was in Baltimore City. He had a meet and greet with some business women in the city. And these women were like throwing out some hard questions. And Tom did not deviate from the questions. And I admired when he didn't know something. He said it. Listen, these were women who were business owners who have struggled during COVID. And so he didn't get up there and pretend and try to pull pie out the sky and tell these women anything. But he listened, he answered the questions, and he pulled back and said, I don't know it, when he didn't know something. And I said, that's my guy. That's who I want in Annapolis advocating for me, because that means he'll work hard for me. And then he'll put smart people around him when he doesn't know something. And I've been listening to these candidates, and this is before I even got in. And I'm like, that's not how Annapolis works. And this is not how it works, especially for Baltimore City. As a councilwoman, we had to go to Annapolis to make sure that we got enabling legislation. You just can't make a law in Baltimore City for certain areas and think that, oh, it will become law. You got to work with the senators and the delegates. You got to make sure that you work with them to essentially enable you to do things here in Baltimore City. And so it all sounds good when folks are talking about, but it's so important that we go into Annapolis and we know that what we're doing. We know where the bathrooms are, is what I've been saying. And so Tom and I can definitely from day one walk in and know where the bathrooms are and work with folks on both sides of the aisles, because we've done that. I've done that as a councilwoman, done it as a journalist going down to Annapolis to set up in a new booth or to shadow, you know, the Pat Warrens of the world. Like, we know that world. And so I know both sides of it. And so that's what I'm happy to always advocate for the folks who are in Maryland, because I know that we deserve the best, and Maryland's a great state to live in.
Shannon, as you get out and about, you were city council person, you've seen it from the other side of the camera, but now you are out traveling the state. And as you travel the state, one of the things that Nestor and I are asking every candidate who comes on is, what are you learning from the voters? Who are Marylanders, and what do they care about?
So it's so funny. I was having this conversation this morning. And so no matter where we go, education, people talk about it, that they put their kids through school, or they're paying taxes and they don't have any kids in the school. And then another thing that always comes up is crime. Crime has come up no matter where we are. It has come up. Jobs come up, like businesses, that, like, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not being hit hard with business owners with different taxes. And then other folks, like, I just want to make sure that businesses come so we can have jobs. So I feel like those are the top three. And so though we like to put the spotlight on Baltimore City when it comes to crime, but people in Montgomery County are concerned about crime as well. People in the Eastern Shore are concerned about crime as well. And sometimes it always does go back to Baltimore, because they understand that Baltimore is the hub. And so they're like, we want to get Baltimore, we want to help get Baltimore the crime under control, because we love the harbor, we love coming in for crab cakes, and it's a day trip for many people across the state. And so it's like a good thing that we're all in this together. No one is being left behind. And that's really what Tom is all about, bringing everyone to the table to make sure that our people who live here are well represented, and that we can talk about all the assets that we have and work on the areas that need some improvement.
Well, let's drill down a little bit on a couple of those issues. Let's take crime, because I think Nestor and I, now after 4 years of doing this show, agree it's front and center. Everybody's,
well, it's not often that the politician brings it up before we do, right? Like, you threw it out. You know, it's the elephant. It leads the parade. And if you don't bring it up, we will, right?
But he said, what are people talking about? That was the question. And again, and that's what people are talking about all throughout. They see it, they want it addressed. And so.
So the question becomes, that we hear from folks, is, can a governor and lieutenant governor, can a team in Annapolis make a difference on crime, or is it all just talk? So for those folks listening in and getting to know you and getting to know Tom, what will your administration do to address crime, not only around the state, but clearly what's on everyone's mind in Baltimore City.
So absolutely. So it's funny. When I was a councilwoman, the big issue for years were police are going over, like the budget is outrageous. We're paying more in overtime. And so what we did as council members is we brought the police department in. Let's have a check-in and see what's going on line by line. And I feel like that helped with it. You know, that addressed the issues to see what's going on. And let's make it clear. Let's make sure that the folks know we're asking the questions. You're going through this chart. You see it. The public can come as well. And they see it and can sit in the audience and ask questions as well. Like, listen, that's what we want. How do you address the issue? You got to bring it in the forefront and you got to go line by line to see what's really going on. And so as a lieutenant governor, I want to make sure that we're having those conversations as well. What is the problem? What is the root of the problem? How do we get to it? And so that's making sure that everyone plays a role. When we talk about parole and probation, when you hear it's over, that it's underfunded. When you hear that we don't have enough people making sure that folks are doing the right thing, keeping folks accountable, it all, to me, it starts there as well. And so absolutely the governor and lieutenant governor play a role because we're partners in this. We want to make sure that we're not losing population anywhere. And so getting crime under control anywhere that it happens, we got to be a part of it. We got to be partners with our county executives. We got to be partners with our mayor as well. And that's to me the only way. Parole and probation, addressing the issues, bringing people in. And thank goodness that they are finally meeting all across the board and everyone's at the table and having those conversations. But Mayor Brandon Scott had said that a long time ago, and the governor did say, no, we don't want to bring that back. But finally, they did. So I'm just happy that as a Baltimore City resident, that this is finally on the agenda where people are really taking it serious and everyone is at the table. So that's the start.
Nestor will tell you the only time we had a nice two session sit down with the governor. And the only time that he got his back up is when Nestor and I pushed him on this issue of parole and probation, because I will tell you that we haven't talked to any state official or previous elected official who does not say the state can make a real difference by paying attention to parole and probation. And the current administration seems to have just let that fall by the wayside.
I have a friend who works in parole and probation. And so she has like been quite honest for years about what's going on. She has been in the criminal justice system. She went to University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, where I went, go Hogs. and she was a part of it. So she knows from the entry level, ground zero, from even going in folks' houses to seeing what's going on, to doing the checks. Like she would be a great person to have on the show as well, so she can walk you through the steps. And so she's always said that it's underfunded. It's so many. If we can just have someone bring attention to it, because someone was saying the wrong facts or something while I was a councilwoman. She said, Shannon, that's not true. That is no, absolutely not. You got to speak up on it.
It's life or death, right? When you let the wrong people out and there's not supervision and there's not true oversight, we're all at risk of being carjacked. We're all at risk of being a victim of random crime from someone who, you know, and again, you've been at this. When you bring this to Tom, and Tom knows about this as well. I mean, I know Tom's background. But coming from it from the, you mean, you've been there with families in your district. You know, murders happen in the city and they come to your desk instantly. You're awakened in the middle of the night. And I had Eric Costello on last week with this too. And there's some sort of perception in the county or something like, well, nobody cares. No, everybody cares.
Everybody.
But it's a partnership that isn't about any individual council person, any mayor, any elected official, or any police officer, quite frankly, right?
And that's why we say that we want to make sure, because to me, and I've said it over and over again as a councilwoman, I will continuously say it, that's why education is so important. That's why we have to make sure that our teachers and educators and our administrators are at the table as well. Because what happens is whatever we do at a young age, my daughter's in public school in Baltimore City, she's 5 years old. And so whatever we do at that point will determine what happens in the future. So if parents aren't at the table and our teachers aren't at the table and the folks who are making these decisions are not at the table and not being held accountable, because we know that some of the money is there. And so therefore, and people are rooting for our schools to get more money so they can do what they need to do. But they have to be a part of the conversation, because when you have an education, and I'm not talking about college, I'm just saying you have what our folks say, if you graduate from 12th grade, you can still have a career somewhere, make a decent wage. And that's what we want. Everyone's not going to college, and that's fine. But we want to make sure that folks, as my mom could say, can take care of themselves. I used to say, Mom, when I become an adult, what do you want me to buy? And my mom said, just take care of yourself, Shannon.
Take care of yourself. That's what it is.
Be a good citizen and take care of yourself, because I can take care of myself. And I got it. I have a 5-year-old. I understand. I just want you to be able to provide for yourself. And so I want to give you all the tools to make sure that you can do it. And so we cannot leave education off the table.
Shannon, take
us. Go ahead, Don.
I'm fascinated. Nestor, I don't know that we've had this discussion that I'm about to ask Shannon. You're the parent. You said, I've got a 5-year-old who's in kindergarten in public school, pre-K in Baltimore City. Take our listeners inside that experience. What have you observed about her education? What have you learned by being the mom of a pre-K student in a public school in an urban area?
So it's funny, I wanted my daughter to go to Commodore John Rogers because I volunteered there, and I got to see teachers and the administrators from that, like, volunteering and being a part of the school system, right? But when my daughter started, it was during COVID, and you couldn't even go into the schools because they wanted to keep the numbers down. But I
How do you teach a 5-year-old COVID? Wow. Right.
Right. And listen, they got it.
A 3-year-old in this case 2 years ago. Wow.
He's been in school I think my daughter was in school really at 18 months old, or she was in some kind of like setting where learning was taking place and not at just a daycare center. And so we made sure that when we but if you need me for anything, you know, text me, call me. I want to be a part of it. I can't, you know, walk into the school system anymore. I can't walk into these doors, but I'm trusting that you will take care of my daughter and these other babies, our precious gems. And so it's trusting. I'm trusting the school system that they'll do the right thing. And so even when they were off for a week and they were doing virtual, to see, it's a teacher and two teacher's aides, by the way, they give so much love to our students. They don't even make a lot of money. I always tell people, but they send love home to them. I'm like, stop buying stuff. Stop buying stuff for the classroom. Stop buying this, because you guys don't make a lot of money. Her teachers are amazing. I'm giving out a plug. Her teacher is the daughter of the author of the Llama Llama books. So I feel like it's in her to be an educator. And she has these two assistants in there that are working with her to make sure that these 20 students, because that's a big class, are learning, and they all are they love it. When I talk to other parents, and she's like, they figure it out. It's amazing to see at this age. She wants to go to school in the morning. She wants to see her teachers, and she'll text them this picture of me on a Saturday because she has on a quirky outfit or something. Can I take this book to school with me, Mom? Because I want my teacher to see it and read it to the other members. And so to me, that's why I know that if we do things right and we get a hold of it, every school in our system in Maryland can be good. I just believe it, and that's what I'm working towards. I know I hear the stories, and people often ask me, you have your daughter in public school, but I'm like, I want to fix it if I can for everyone, and that's why my daughter is there. I don't think it's fair to pull her out. I could send her somewhere else. We could scrape the money together, but the bottom line is I want a good school for every child, for every person, no matter their zip code. I believe that all schools should be well. I think they should all be good. And so, and kids are off limits, but it's amazing to see these young kids. They're not teenagers. You know, teenagers are like, we're going to school today, we're going to have a good time. And they're like, no, we're not. But babies are like, we're going to have a good day today in school. And she was like, yes, we are. It's going to be great. And so I wish they kept that energy when they were like 16 and 17.
I still have that energy, you know, Randall. Shannon Snead is here. She is the lieutenant governor candidate along with Tom Perez. And the election is July 19th. Of course, my partner in crime here, Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller as well. So I've got, let's see, Don was my high school guidance counselor, was a teacher who became a politician, sort of side door. You're a journalist who became a politician, who's now a politician, but talking about teaching and about education. I would just say this for, you know, and I did all my crab cakes and I did all 24 counties. I'm doing it again. I'm adding breweries this time. So if you are the electeds in August, come have a beverage with me in August as I traverse the state. But education and the part where Kerwin comes up for Hogan and for this, as well as transportation with the red line, which you're very, very familiar with. Folks like you and anyone on the Democratic side that's running amongst you, and we are having all of you on, Westmore, Franchot, we're having everybody on, but it's so different than what we've done here the last 8 years with the red line, with a governor that's been against Kerwin, with a governor who, when he says Baltimore, he says it with angst and not love. And I've talked to a lot of people who love Baltimore, and Baltimore's sort of forgotten in all of this, but the education piece of, well, we've given enough, we're going to quit on it, that's a crazy concept, especially when I meet and interact with someone like you that has a five-year-old in this system, and you are pointed toward the next 12 years to try to get this child the best education you can get, and that everyone deserves that in every jurisdiction.
Yes. And that's, I'm the only one out of the candidates that actually has a young person in public school. And I'm like, again, kids are off limits, but I think that speaks volumes. And people have said that. I'm not pulling pie out the sky. I'm not telling you how it should be. I'm telling you that I'm living my own experience with my five-year-old, and this is what I'm seeing. And I believe that when there are challenges, that we can correct those challenges. And so you're absolutely right. Even getting to school for some is a challenge. When we think about transportation, and we already know that it's a challenge for folks on the west side to get to the east side, to get to some of the greatest jobs, the high paying jobs at the port, because you got to be there and on that boat at 6 o'clock in the morning. But there are no buses unless you leave 3 or 4 hours early to get there. And you're right, to have a governor to like just split us up and to put us against each other is something that I am not for. I'm told you, I'm a graduate of University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. I know what the shore is like. I know that Somerset County is one of the poorest counties. So that's what I'm saying. If you fix certain things like education, transportation across the state, it makes it better for everyone. You fix poverty issues in the Eastern Shore, you could fix them in Baltimore City too, because it's the policy and it's no one fix. That's the thing. It's going to be different for different counties and different neighborhoods. And so I'm not saying that it's one fit for all. I'm saying that we have to be creative and make sure that we know what areas that we're in and making sure that we adjust some things for different areas.
Don, what does it mean for Kerwin and this money for her five-year-old child? Shouldn't Kerwin really greatly, greatly affect Shannon's daughter's travels wherever she goes to school in this state, right? I mean, isn't that what it was designed for, Don?
Absolutely. And as you know, we have full disclosure, my daughter is on the Accountability and Implementation Board, ensuring that these funds do make a difference. And I think the pressure that group feels under the leadership of Dr. Kerwin is to make sure that the money yields the results that we expect. It can't just be money down a black hole. It has to yield the results. And we will be following that story very closely. Now, Shannon, you mentioned also an issue that always comes up. And all of the candidates, all of you are talking about this issue of transportation. Break that down for our listeners. Again, anybody listening to the show know that Nestor and I were extremely frustrated, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when Governor Hogan, just with a stroke of a pen, eliminated the red line. But transportation is partly the red line, but it's bigger than that. Talk about your administration and your commitment to transportation.
It's also buses running on time. It's making sure that mobility is there for the folks who don't have cars, that are have some health issues that depend on them, to get them to doctor's appointments on time, or to the store on time, to church on time on Sundays. Folks who are sitting around waiting for them to pick them back up again, like all that plays into our transportation system. It is just not the red line. It's the buses, mobility. It's all of the above.
It's getting kids to school too. As it relates to education.
Yes.
Don and I were struck when we sat with Brandon Scott down at Fadley's when he was early part of him running. We asked him about what he knew of Lexington Market. He said he spent time there every single day of his life because it was a 2-hour drive both ways. And we couldn't believe, as a 15-year-old kid, this is the kind of kid that would run for mayor. But these are the challenges every child in the city faces in regard to getting to school.
We say that I give a good example because we're running so we can be governor and lieutenant governor. There are students all over the state who don't have the opportunity and want to work in Annapolis because they can't get there. They want to be pages. Imagine the opportunity they would have of just learning from being in those offices, from walking those halls, but they can't get there. There's a young student a number of years ago who was able to be a page, and they went on the weekends, they wanted him to come for something and he couldn't get there. I was like, no, we're going to have you there. I think I called at the time, it was Delegate Corey McCray, and said, can he ride with you there? It's a weekend. You're already going to be there. Can he go with you? Listen, it's what we have to do, but we shouldn't have to do that. Our students, no matter where they are, if they want to be down there, they should be able to be down there and to volunteer, to intern, and to be pages and anything else in our state house, but they can't get there.
Shannon, this is you're gracious with your time, and we promised your team we'd have you out of here in a half an hour or so. This is an incredible primary with really a number of talented folks trying to be governor. People have real hard choices to make in this race. How do you and Tom Perez win this race? How do you come out of this crowded field standing on July the 20th?
I'm telling you, so this extra time really helped us. Like I said, I was like, Tom, you put me in so late when it was in June. I'm not going to have enough time. So I'm grateful that we do have, I know the other candidates don't want me to say that, but they want this to be over. But I'm like, thank goodness Tom put me and I have some extra time to get those votes. We are leaving nothing on the table. I am on the Eastern Shore. I am heading to Frederick. We are everywhere. And normally Tom and I we're not together. We do divide and conquer. It's how we're doing this. With so many candidates, you are right. But people know that they can trust me. They know my history. Nothing is coming out new on me. They already know it. They know the work that I've done. They know the legislation that I've put in. And I've always just been 100% honest. When someone asks me something and I don't know it, I say I don't know it. When I say that we need to work on something, I'm like screaming it out. This is an issue. We need to work on it. I told Tom, listen, are you sure you want to have me on your ticket? Because when there's an issue, I do speak out. I'm big time, and I rally the folks and let them know, this is not right. This is an issue. And so that is why I think we're resonating with people. It seems like the campaign and these campaigns have teared out a bit much. Tom is at the top, and we're so thankful that his hard work and his history, people know it. They don't have to question it. They don't have to guess it. And so just us just leaving nothing for granted, leaving nothing on the table, our hard work and crisscrossing the state, we're picking up votes and we are getting our name out there. It helps that Tom is known nationally. So that helps as well. I'm going to be honest with you. And when people say who's in it, Tom is one of the names that comes up. So we're just thankful and happy about that. So we're just going to keep working hard. Have us back on again. Have Tom back on again. Invite us when you're, crisscrossing.
Yeah, you want a crab cake. I mean, you know what? This Zoom thing's old. I'm done with this. We got to sit down. And I'm doing 31 breweries, too, because, man gets thirsty, especially
yes,
in summertime.
Yes, and we have so many great breweries. There's a brewery everywhere. So we've had
– I noticed. I noticed, and then now I'm like, maybe I should go in there next time. So that's what we're doing.
Yes. So thanks for having me on. Thanks to the elected officials who already came out and supported us. We can't do this without a team of people, to our interns and volunteers and our staff members. That's really how we win this, Don, and we'll continue to do that to answer your question.
All right, we got till July 19th. Don Mueller, former Baltimore County Executive. Ride shotgun, as we always do in these Baltimore Positive Wise conversations. Shannon Snead, running for Lieutenant Governor on the ticket with Tom Perez. The election is July the 19th. The first, but not the last. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour will be back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery, along with our friends at Goodwill Industries, doing great things with jobs. We had John Baylog on this week talking about that and my spring cleaning, as well as our friends at Window Nation. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking the tough issues at BaltimorePositive.com.